This is KSJE, right on Four Corners. Hi, I'm Tracy Hales-Vass. My guest today is a former colleague who took a daring adventure after her retirement as San Juan College's library director. Her book, 7 Hours to Sophia, is about that adventure. I want to welcome Louise Hoffman.
Hi.
Hi, Louise. How are you?
Fine, other than always a bit nervous, of course.
Oh, no. No reason to be nervous. Well, I was very excited to hear about your adventures after your retirement.
I guess I look back now and it's like, oh, you know, but I was so excited about doing it and so focused on it that I didn't think too much about it, that it was a big deal, you know, but now as I look back, I'm glad I did it when I did.
Yes, it sounds fascinating. It's very encouraging to us retirees.
Well, that's part of the idea, I think, for writing the book, really, you know, is to let people know about that you can still do things.
That's right.
Even when you retire, that it isn't, and different things for different people. But it is, I think, a bigger challenge for when you are retired.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking about Louise Hoffman, a former colleague of mine who retired from San Juan College's library as the director of the library. So Louise, what's the title of your book you're going to tell us about today?
The book is titled 7 Hours to Sophia, Challenges and Discoveries of a Peace Corps Volunteer.
And what big adventure is this about?
Okay, so the reason for the title, really, is I was thinking about it because it's Peace Corps, and I did Peace Corps after I retired, as you mentioned, from San Juan College Library. And I got assigned to Bulgaria, and I was in a little village way across from the capital, which is Sofia, but I was 7 hours away by train in a little village of Topolitsa. And the headquarters for Peace Corps in Bulgaria was in Sofia. So naturally, a lot of the meetings, all the medical facilities that we were to have, and when we needed a checkup or a flu shot, we would have to go to Sofia. So that meant I had to go by train because we were not allowed to go by car or drive ourselves. And there was no direct bus service in my little village, but the slow train came to the village, three times one direction and three times another direction. So I would catch the train, usually the 7 o'clock train, and I would take it for about an hour and a half, and I would get to the town of Karlovac, and then I would wait for the fast train. And then the fast train would take me to Sofia, and I'd get there about 3 in the afternoon. So it was a long day, and it meant usually sleeping over because there was no way to get back that same day, plus do an appointment. So that's the title, 7 Hours to Sofia.
That's really fascinating. As I read the book, it reads like a journal and letters, really naturally. But as a writer, of course, I'm wondering how much revising and editing did you have to do?
Good question. I think initially when I thought of it, I thought I'd just take emails I had saved, letters that I had either saved, because at the beginning I handwrote letters because I didn't have a computer connection, or some people returned letters to me. And I kept a journal. And I thought, I'll just take these all and just put them in a book. Well, once you start that process, it's not quite as straightforward as I first imagined. Because, one, you have to decide on some kind of sequence, an order of your ideas. Are you going to go chronologically, topically? So how are you going to make it work? And, of course, things overlap. So I started gathering together the letters, and I put them in my computer. And I found old emails, which I had saved, some of the longer ones that I had written to friends and my journals. And I ended up with lots of, you know, assorted information. And I realized it needed more order than just dropping things in a bucket and saying, this is going to work. So I did print it out. I printed it out, actually, I think 5 times altogether, you know, wow, in a like a manuscript, looking at it, trying to figure out how best to organize it and put the ideas together. The other big challenge I realized was looking at not so much the emails I wrote, but also those, because you tend to write emails in shorthand language. You're not as careful with the language. And so that presented a challenge, and how much correction should I do? And also for people writing to me. And I have to say also Bulgarians writing to me. I didn't have as many of those, but I did have communication with mainly my language teachers. And sometimes in translation, how they use language or how they use the English language, they might have a different turn on the words than what we would normally use in our everyday vocabulary. But I wanted to keep it that it was like now or at the moment. I did not want it to become, looking back 5 years ago, this happened to me. I wanted to stay in the present tense, that this was how it felt, to make it more immediate. So it did take a bit of, like I said, printing it out, I came up with the idea of topically and as much as possible chronologically, although it's not exact. And I went from there.
Well, it reads, like I said, very naturally. I think this would be a good point if you want to read for us one of the little stories in there.
I would love to read because, like I said, it's a combination of journals, letters, emails I kept. And this was a note, part of a journal that I kept that I wrote about a day. Or it was a couple of days I combined, things I did in our first village. I was assigned with 3 other young Peace Corps volunteers. As I was the oldest one, everyone else obviously was younger. And we each lived in our own house with usually a family. I lived with a woman, a widow, and I had my own bedroom. I usually ate my dinner with her. And we would meet, the 4 of us volunteers, every day for language lessons until usually 4 or 5 in the afternoon. So it was a full day. And this is a little description of what we did after our lesson.
Great.
This was in the summer. Diana lived on the edge of town in the Romani district. I sometimes walked her home, and then she walked back with me to a junction where the bar was located, in the other big trash bin. There were 2 trash bins in this village. It was a small village. In this way, she didn't have to go far. She didn't have too far to go alone, and nor did I. On one of these walks, we decided to take another path that went out of the village. We were drawn to the field of sunflowers that we could see. They seemed to go on for miles. They were all starting to blossom. Soon we had a bunch of children following us down the road. They were excited to see us taking pictures of the sunflowers. Then we took pictures of them. As we were trying to teach them English, we decided to sing some action songs with them. The children especially liked the old folk song, Hokey Pokey. Singing the song and pointing to our body part, it was an easy way for children to learn the names of their body parts in English.
I don't think either Diana or myself knew the names in Bulgarian of our body parts. I realize more and more the everyday words that you speak with a child become part of their early vocabulary. When you are 65 and learning and hearing those words for the first time, it becomes more and more of a challenge. We told Anna and Alvin about our walk. They too were interested, and so we decided as soon as we had a free weekend afternoon, we would go out together. It was great fun. We all looked for the biggest sunflower we could find to take our picture. This was before selfies, so we took turns taking each other's photos. Later, we shared our adventure with Lazar, who was our language teacher. He told us that we were lucky that we didn't run into any snakes. He said that they often hang out in the sunflower fields. The word for sunflower in Bulgarian is pronounced slanolet. A colleague of mine from New Mexico sent me a wonderful Ziggy cartoon. It shows Ziggy answering the phone and the voices saying to him, "To continue this call in Navajo, press 4-3. To continue this call in Bulgarian, Ziggy is shown to reply, "You'd think they'd start in English." So that was a Sunday afternoon.
That's lovely. That's so exciting. So are you missing Bulgaria now?
I really am. I am. I must say I did get a chance to return in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great because there were still Peace Corps volunteers there that I knew. And they were also celebrating their 21st year of Peace Corps being in Bulgaria. So I got in on that celebration. But I visited my school and saw a number of the volunteers and my language teachers. It was great. Bulgaria is a great country to visit. I still have hopes of someday returning again because it is such a unique spot, I think, that Americans haven't discovered. Because I'm not sure quite why. People know Romania, and Bulgaria is just south of Romania. It's across the Danube River there. It's along the Black Sea and the Danube on the north, and Turkey and Greece in the south. Macedonia is on the eastern border, or the western border. So it's... The Black Sea is beautiful, lovely beaches, and it has so much history. And that's another part that I really appreciated was all the history, as I am a history buff. And so to have that ancient history going back to Roman, Greek, and prior times was just amazing.
So Bulgaria had been on your personal radar before you signed up for Peace Corps.
No, I mean, I certainly wanted to go to Eastern Europe, mm-hmm. and I was hoping I would get assigned Eastern Europe, but I really knew very little about Bulgaria before Peace Corps. I had to find it on the map to make sure I had it the right spot. So I was just fortunate because they've changed the policy a little bit in the last 4 years, I believe, where you can indicate your preference. But when I signed up for Peace Corps, you were committed to say that you would go where you were assigned.
I was wondering, yeah. Anywhere. So you were lucky to end up in such a great place. That's very exciting.
I was. It helped. I had a feeling I wouldn't get to a Spanish-speaking country because they get a number of volunteers who can speak Spanish. And so they tend to place them in a Spanish-speaking country. But that was my only indication that I wouldn't get a Spanish-speaking country, which would have been okay. I would have learned Spanish.
Right.
But I ended up in Bulgaria, and it was a very good fit for me, yes.
Oh, it sounds like it. Well, how exciting. And so now what are you doing?
Well, the book did absorb a lot of my time or putting this together because I had the idea of telling the story about an older Peace Corps volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
But since I've returned, I have three children, grown children, and one was married right before I left for Peace Corps, and while I was over there, they had a
child who is now turned 7. And now they have another baby. Well, no longer a baby, will turn 2. And then since then, also my daughter has gotten married and she lives on the East Coast. And she has 2 children now. And this past spring, my youngest son became married. He lives in Colorado. So that has absorbed some of my time, just family things.
Absolutely. Traveling around and being a grandma is is great.
So that's taken a lot of my time. I did that return trip to Bulgaria. I also just recently, I was very fortunate. I had a chance. I went to Egypt. Because I do love to travel, although probably I can tell I am slowing down. But I went with the Rhodes Scholar Group and got to see the pyramids, which was amazing. And I've done, because my siblings live in Wisconsin, I've done a couple road trips with my car, visiting them in Wisconsin. For the most part, you know, it kept my time pretty very busy, actually. But
yes.
I enjoy that.
That's great. Would you join the Peace Corps again if you could?
Yes, I would. I think it would be... The older you get, I think the bigger challenge it becomes.
I'm sure.
I had actually thought of joining, you know, right after I came back. But then, you know, with your grown children, and I think this is one of the, I wouldn't say problems, but one of the concerns that an older adult faces when you join the Peace Corps is, you know, what stage your children are in their life. There was one couple there. Well, there were several older volunteers, but one who had children and did go back for son's wedding. It becomes more complicated as you get older of dealing because of the family concerns or if you have a house to keep up. And I did have that house in Farmington. So those kinds of things as an older volunteer you have to deal with if you're going to commit for 2 years living overseas. But for the experience, and they now do have a program in Peace Corps for a return volunteer that they do have short-term assignments. Oh. So I've looked into that a bit. But again, now with young grandchildren and having raised my children, I realize you like to be around when they're young, particularly. And
absolutely.
And we're now talking ages, you know, 1 through 7 with 4 grandsons. You like to be around for, you know, the holidays and their birthdays and so on.
And you have great stories to tell them.
I do. I have lots of pictures. I actually, the other project I did in conjunction, not so much with the book, but before I did the writing, I was staying in California because there was the new brand new grandson when I came back. And my son had a Mac computer, and he had always done calendars and photo books. And I had all these pictures that I had saved on CDs that I had taken with my camera in Bulgaria. So he downloaded all my photos on his computer, and he said, "Mom, you can do this. you can do this." So here I had... Oh, I forget the number, but I think we're talking 20,000 photos, something like that. It was a lot. And I did several talks. I actually talked at a couple colleges in California, and I gave a couple talks in Farmington using these photos on the computer. But then I did learn how to do to make booklets with the photos. And those I arrange topically. So I have one on Topolitsa, the village I stayed at, and I have one on Bunitsa, which was the village that I was there for 10 weeks, the sunflower story. I have pictures of the sunflowers in that book.
Oh.
I have another book on historic villages that I had a chance to visit because I had both with Bulgarian teachers. Sometimes they arrange excursions on a weekend. Once a few teachers found out that I, you know, was so interested in history, if they heard about an excursion, and we're talking about the local teachers who live near me, they would tell me about it.
Oh, yeah. Louise, you have so many great stories. I wish we could keep talking to you even longer and longer, but we're actually coming up on the end of our time.
Oh, really? Oh, yes. It was great to be able to travel like that, you know,
yes,
with the teachers. And then I got one excursion with a fellow Peace Corps volunteer whose class was going to Turkey for their 12th grade graduation celebration. And so I got to go to Turkey for 6 days.
That is so exciting. I'll think about when we can talk to you again, because you have so much more to say. But talking about your book, 7 Hours to Sophia, and your adventures in the Peace Corps has been great. It's really good talking to you.
Well, thank you. Can I just mention that the book is available at the San Juan College Library?
It is.
And it's also going to be available in the bookstore, hopefully by spring.
Yes.
And it's available on Amazon, both as a book and a electronic version.
Great. 7 Hours to Sophia by Louise May Hoffman, one of our own, talking about her adventures as a Peace Corps volunteer. This is Tracy Hales-Vast, right on Four Corners. Please contact me at halesvastt@sanjuancollege.edu or see us on the web at ksje.com.